Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 14th, 2009, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, how much should you pay for a memory card? Welcome back to another Digital Story. I want to talk about memory cards today, and I'm going to limit the discussion to CF cards, but I think that the points that I'll make today apply to just about any type of memory card. And what it really comes down to is how much should you pay for a good memory card? Because the discrepancy in price is huge. And I'm talking about right now CF cards. And what started this all was the Canon 5D Mark II. I've been shooting video with it. A lot of it you're going to see very soon on the Digital Story because I've been recording these video shows for you that you'll like, not instead of the podcast, but in addition to. The podcast is going to stay exactly the way that it is right now. But we're going to add video to the site also, and I have some great stuff to show you. And I want to use the Canon 5D Mark II for that. And okay, that's cool. It's a great camera. I can shoot in HD with it. That means I can capture in full HD resolution. I have my master's at that, 30 frames per second. And then, of course, I can, you know, make copies of it and sample down to stuff for web and stuff like that. But I want to start with the best possible resolution. It's very much, you know, for me, shooting full resolution HD video is very much like shooting raw for still photography, in that, you know, you want to get as much information as you can at capture, and then you can always decide what to do with that information later on. So that's sort of the backdrop to what started this. And because HD resolution at 30 frames per second uses up a lot of memory, I thought, well, I better, you know, get some new memory cards, right? Because certainly these 4 gigabyte cards aren't really going to work very well on the 5D Mark II. They were fine with the regular 5D, 12 megapixels raw, no video, but suddenly 21 megapixels raw and HD video, 4 gigabytes just isn't enough. So I started shopping around and taking a look at things. And what I found was, wow, what a difference in card prices. And let me just give you a few examples of what I discovered. Now, these are all off the B&H photo site, which I think is a good kind of barometer for how much things cost. And I'm looking at 16 gigabyte cards because I figure that gives me enough room for video work and for RAW, but yet I'm not paying the premium price for the 32 gigabyte cards. So I'm looking at 16 gigabyte cards. And so at the top of the heap, in terms of fast cards, we have the SanDisk Extreme 4 with transfer rate at 45 megabytes per second, a 16 gigabyte card, $215 on B&H, $215 US. And then right up there with it, we have the Lexar Professional 300X 16 gigabyte card. And transfer speed somewhere around 30 megabytes per second for $195 for one card. You know, $200, basically $200, give or take some change for each of these cards. So then I'm shopping around, and I see this deal for the Kingston Elite Pro 16 gigabyte card for $30 on B&H. $30 for a 16 gigabyte card labeled Elite Pro. Okay, so what's the deal with this? Why is this card $30 and these other cards are $200 or more? And so I did a little research on this. So there's a couple things I want to talk a little bit about what I discovered on this research right now. And there's a couple things that we have to sort of define our terms. So some card manufacturers, such as SanDisk, they rate their card by what the transfer speed is in terms of megabytes per second, which is what I prefer, because this is usually what camera manufacturers tell you. And so I think that's an easier way to go. But then some cards, such as Lexstar and Kingston, will tell you 300x or 200x or whatever. And you never really know what that X means. Well, the X, the best I can tell, 1x equals 150 kilobytes per second. Okay, so that's not really that helpful unless you're really good at math in your head and you can figure it out. So what you need to do, the first thing that you need to do is do apples to apples. And I think that when you're comparing memory card speed, go with the transfer rate of megabytes per second. So, and you can always find in the specs for these cards, you have to go to the website sometimes, or you go to a third party site or whatever, you can always find the megabytes per second rating, even if it isn't on the card itself. So even if the card says on the outside, 300x, if you look it up, you can find out what that 300x actually means, or 133x, or whatever it happens to be. Okay, now the one thing you can tell, of course, if one card is rated at 300x and another card's rated at 133x, you know that the 300x card is faster. That you know. It's just, how does that compare to megabytes per second? So anyway, so tip one, get everything into megabytes per second because it's a lot easier. Now, tip two, find out what your camera really needs. And so here's where you go to the owner's manual and you look up, okay, to do this or that, what is the, how fast of a card do I need? And so I went to my trusty EOS 5D Mark II owner's manual, the English version, because I could read that. And I looked up live view shooting in movies on page 107, because I really, you think about it, HD movies are that's probably going to be the ultimate litmus test for this. And so it says here, use a large capacity card having an actual reading/writing speed of at least 8 megabytes per second. At least 8 megabytes per second. So there, okay, so now you know what you need. You need 8 megabytes per second or faster for this particular camera to record probably the most demanding thing, which is shooting full HD video at 30 frames per second. Probably second on that list in terms of demanding would be burst mode of RAW files. But you know you need 8 megabytes per second. So the first thing that you've done is you've transferred everything, all your research, into megabytes per second. Second thing that you've done then is that you've found out now what your camera really needs. Okay, now you can start looking at the cards themselves. And, one place that I like to do this is like my favorite place for checking this all out, is a photo website called Digital Photography Insights, and it's run by, Rob Galbraith. And he has this thing. If you look on the nav on the left side there, you'll see something that says CF/SD. And he does this whole CFSD performance database thing on the site. I mean, it's really good. And what he does is he takes all of the popular cameras, and he has a whole bunch of them in there. And then he takes all the popular cards and he actually tests the cards in the camera and then gives you the card type, how much space it has, and then how fast the read-write is for JPEG and RAW. And you just go vroom, right down the list here, and you can actually see how fast these cards tested out, regardless of what they say on the outside. For instance, let's take that SanDisk Extreme 4. That card on the label says transfer rate of 45 megabytes per second. All right, this is a 16 gigabyte card. In the 5D Mark II, in this particular camera, it tests out for JPEGs at 25 megabytes per second, and for RAWs at 30 megabytes per second. Now, does that mean that the card manufacturer's misleading us by saying 45 megabytes per second? Well, you know, I'm going to be lenient here and say probably not. What they're probably saying is up to 45 megabytes per second under ideal conditions. And those ideal conditions could very well be in their own card reader that's matched for the memory card. Then you get that sort of transfer speed. But in this particular device, in this case, a Canon 5D Mark II, you're not going to get that. What you're going to get instead is closer to 30 megabytes per second. And that's why this database that's on Digital Photography Insights is so important, because it tells you how these cards perform in the device that you're actually going to use. So that $215 SanDisk Extreme 4 40 megabytes per second 16 gigabyte card is more than enough speed for my 5D Mark II. Remember, it only needs 8 megabytes per second. And so, you know, we're way up here at 25 and 30. Now, that Lexar that I talked about, the 300X, you know, they put 300X, 16 gigabyte card that sells for $195. Well, it works out to be basically the same as the SanDisk. They're neck and neck, 24.5 megabytes per second. And 30.5 megabytes per second for RAW files. So it's right there, $195, more than enough speed. Okay, how does that Kingston card, that Pro Elite that I looked at, that on the outside, I have the package right here, Kingston 16 gigabyte Elite Pro 133X read-write speed. How does that compare? Because this card is $30. These other two cards are $200. So I'm going through, Rob's database here, and you're going down, down, down. I mean, he tests a lot of cards here. And all the way down here, it's not at the bottom, but I'd say it looks like about not quite two-thirds down, but more than half down is, because he rates them from fastest to slowest, is my card here that I was looking at. And that 133X card, the way that it worked out in the 5D Mark II, is at 9.9 megabytes per second for RAW files, 7.6 megabytes per second for JPEGs. Okay, so we're really pretty close here to the minimum standard for that camera, depending on which is more applicable for shooting video, the JPEG writing or the RAW writing. I'm going to guess it's somewhere in between. So I would say then that I am right at, you know, pretty much 8 megabytes per second for this card. For this card, that is $30 for 16 megabytes. So then the thing that I said, I'm going to take a chance on this card. So I order it, and I get it, and I put it in the 5D Mark II. And then the next thing is actually shoot video and see what happens. So I'm shooting, full HD video with it. I'm waving my hands around a lot, and I'm talking, and I'm doing all this sort of stuff. I'm doing panning, all the stuff that sort of tests video. And the card did absolutely fine. The video on it looks great. It looks just as good as sort of my go-to card. The card that I've been using for really important stuff is another card. A SanDisk Extreme 3 that's rated at 30 megabytes per second. It's an 8 gigabyte card. In the database, it's rated at 20 megabytes per second for JPEGs and 23 megabytes per second for RAW files. So it has more than enough speed for my 5D Mark II. So I know, I don't have to worry with this card. I can put it in and there's no questions at all. By the way, this card, 8 megabyte card, costs $55 at B&H. So it's not nearly as expensive as those 16 gigabyte cards. It gives me more than enough speed. But yet, it is more expensive than those 16 gigabyte Kingston cards that are only $30. For twice as much memory. All right, jumble, 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 right? Numbers, numbers, numbers everywhere. So how do we sift through all this and actually build a strategy? And I think this is the interesting part here. So here's what I did. And I think what I want to do is just arm you with the information and then have you choose what the best thing is for you. But here's what I did. So I went ahead and bought two of the Kingston 16 gigabyte cards. Cost me $60 for 32 gigabytes of memory. I tested them both in the 5D Mark II, and it shoots video fine, it shoots RAW fine, it shoots JPEGs fine. Now, the thing that I didn't do with these cards was test burst rate with RAW files, and I would imagine that if I really sat down and figured this out, that I would be able to see a difference between my fastest card and these cards. But they worked fine, and they worked. And the thing that I really needed them for, which is the HD video, because it's what really eats up the space, they work fine. So I have these two 16 gigabyte cards that are at minimum spec for my camera, and they seem to work fine. And then I have my 8 gigabyte SanDisk Extreme 3, which gives me headroom in terms of read-write speed, because it's way up there at 23, as opposed to, you know, down around 8, 9, like the Kingston card is. So I guess if something's really important video-wise, or I just want to make sure, extra movement, I don't know, demanding situation, as we'd say, then, and if it's going to be short take especially, which a lot of the movies I shoot are, they're only between 3 and 5 minutes, then, you know, my gold card can be that SanDisk 8 gigabyte card, because I do have headroom on that. What I didn't do was go out and spend big money, $200, for those 16 gigabyte fast cards. Because for what I'm doing right now, I just don't need them. Would it be nice to have them? Well, yes, it would be nice to have them in the same way that it would be nice to have a Ferrari instead of a Volkswagen. But if I'm just going to the store to get milk, the Volkswagen works too. And these things really do fall into that category for me. Now, I know some of you are probably going to be listening to this and going, no way, I'm always going to go with the fastest and the best card because, you know, my picture and my video, this is my content. This is invaluable, and I want to ensure it best I can. And I can't argue against that. I won't argue against that. I think more what I want to do is for those of you that don't necessarily feel that way, I don't want you to have to go out and spend money that you don't necessarily have to spend in order to meet the minimum requirements of what you're trying to do with your photography or with your video. So the sort of the bottom line advice in terms of read-write speed, and then I have, you know, the quality factor, which is the other thing I want to address here in a second. But in terms of read-write speed, I would say, start at what I said here today. Start at finding out what your camera needs. Then look at what's available out there and make sure that whatever card you're interested in meets those minimum requirements. And then from there, build your strategy. And not a bad strategy would be having one kind of elite card that's your go-to card, and then having backup cards that maybe are just at minimum spec or a little above minimum spec. Because the thing that you don't want to do is run out of memory, right? You always want to be able, because when you're shooting, whether it's RAW files or video, you never really know how much memory you're going to need. You can plan and plan and plan, start out and think you're going to need this, and then the next thing you know, suddenly you have this other opportunity and you want to keep shooting. So you want to make sure that you have enough memory. So your strategy could be having go-to cards and then, you know, second-tier cards, all of them meeting spec, but some of them exceeding it more than others. Now, the other issue that, you know, we got to think about here is quality. And this one's harder for me because, you know, when we talk about read-write speed, that's measurable. When we talk about quality, that's a little bit harder. That's more experience. So I looked up the reader reviews of this Kingston card, this $30 card, and, you know, how were people feeling about it that had bought it and were using it? And basically, it was interesting because the people that were putting this card in cannons seem to be having really good experiences. And I'm talking about the Kingston 16GB Elite Pro 133X for $30. They seem to be having very good experiences, and it was mostly 5 stars rating. The only complaints I saw, and this was out of like 30 reader reviews, the only complaints I really saw were for some Nikon shooters who did have bad experiences with it. The card did not perform the way that they needed it to. So then, of course, there is something in the marriage of the device and the media itself. And I think that is something that you have to look at. So not only do you have to look at, does it meet the specifications that you need it to, then find out how is that particular card performing in, you know, a camera that's similar or the same as yours. Because some cards, quite honestly, do better in some cameras than they do in other cameras. So you have to sort of find that marriage too. In my case, the Kingston cards seem to work fine in the Canon digital SLRs, so I feel pretty comfortable. If that changes, believe me, I'll be the first to let you know. But if you're a Nikon shooter, then you know you might want to do a little more research in that before you actually spend your $30. So it's speed, and it's not so much quality as maybe it is compatibility. So make sure you have good compatibility and minimum speed. And then I say, really, only spend what you have to. One other tip I have on memory cards is that usually if you buy at the level below whatever the largest capacity, you usually get the best deal. So for instance, right now, 16GB cards are much better deals than 32GB cards. And 8GB cards tend to be better deals than 16GB cards. So if you can get by sometimes with 2 16s instead of a 32, or 2 8s instead of a 16, you'll probably come out ahead financially on that deal. And then some folks tell me they don't like the super big cards because it makes them nervous having all of their shoot on one card in case there's a card failure. At that point, I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't want a card failure regardless if I have a shoot broken onto 3 cards or it's on 1 card because, you know, chances are the shot that I really want is going to be on the card that fails. So I don't want any failures at all. But some folks do feel more comfortable with having things broken up onto multiple cards. I'll leave that up to you. So anyway, those are my thoughts on memory card and how much should you pay. Bottom line, don't pay any more than you have to get what you need, because, you know, the money's tight right now and we've got a lot of things to spend our money on and we don't want to be wasting them. Okay, so there's that. I want to talk about photo assignment for a minute. The photo assignment for this month, for April, is vibrancy. And this really gives you a chance to focus on the assignment either at the capture end by shooting vibrant subjects or subjects that make you think of vibrancy, or by playing with images in Photoshop, in Aperture, in Lightroom, and playing with, you know, juicing them up in post-production and creating vibrant images that way. There's a lot of ways you can go with this, and so have fun with it. Depending on, you know, what's available to you right now at Capture, you may lean more on the post-production side, or if you got great stuff available in Capture, you may go that way. But get it in. I think it's going to be a beautiful gallery. I think it's just going to be a very beautiful gallery. And then on grab shots, I need to mention a couple things. First of all, I did get some in. Thank you. I'm still looking for grab shots. If you're sitting on them, please send them in. I noticed something that when we're working on the redesign for Digital Story, as you know. And I noticed something that when I was going over the pages, the redesigned pages, and we're trying to clean up the text, and, you know, we're trying to do all sorts of stuff at once, that on the submissions page for grab shots, I still mentioned the custom carabiner. I thought I had taken that out across the site. I know I had taken it out on the little blurb that goes with grab shots when I run the grab shot, but I hadn't realized that it was still in the submissions part. And so I apologize for that, because I feel bad about that, because the reason why I stopped sending the key rings is just I ran out of time. I only have time to do so much, and the whole mail order thing wasn't working for me. And so many of you live in places that are, you know, where I actually have to go to the post office and, you know, set it up to send it to New Zealand or somewhere that's outside of the States here. So I stopped doing it just because I felt bad because I wasn't living up to sort of my end of the deal there. So, but I still want the grab shots, obviously, and I hope you're still motivated to publish them on the site. But that, I did notice that that copy is still in there on the existing site, and I feel bad about that because I meant to take it out. It will be gone from the new site when we launch it, which we're getting closer every day. So if I misled you around that, I just want to give you my sincere apology. I thought I had cleaned that up, and I felt really bad when I saw it there the other day. That said, I hope you're still motivated to share your work with other members of our virtual camera club, even without the keyrings. So I'm crossing my fingers that you'll still send me grab shots. All right. So there's that. And then just quickly, I want to mention our great sponsors. I want to mention Red River Paper, which I've been doing some printing with some new stocks lately from them. And I'm going to be writing about that. I'm very excited. Just a great paper company, high quality material at a very affordable price. I'm just thrilled to have them as sponsors for the site. And SiteGrinder, I did a podcast with Chris Lang a couple weeks ago where he talked about using SiteGrinder to design his photography websites. And if you're interested in this, using SiteGrinder, which is a plugin for Photoshop, to create a site that really expresses you, listen to that podcast because this is a terrific, terrific plugin for Photoshop. And then Boinks TV, which I'm playing with right now, they're also a sponsor, and you're going to see how Boinks TV works when you start to see the videos on the new site. Because I'm thrilled about this. I can't wait. You know, I'm just dying to share all this stuff with you I've been working on. But you get a good look at Boinks TV. It's very sophisticated, easy to use software that lets you create, you know, video that represents any sort of show that you want to do, any sort of look that you want, right there on your Mac. It's really great stuff. So thank them. And then also, we have an affiliate, Think Tank Photo. And if you, there's a tile on there for Think Tank Photo, along with our other sponsors. And if you click on it, and if you buy something, because you're a Digital Story member, you actually go to a special page and you get free goodies along with your minimum order. So take a look at that. And I'm going to be revealing some more Think Tank products here real soon. They're terrific folks also. Okay, so that's going to do it for this week. Memory cards. Do your homework. Do your homework and don't automatically spend, top dollar because you may not have to. All right. I will see you here next week on The Digital Story. Thanks for joining me and take care of yourself and take some pictures and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.